Chapter 44. Citizen Stain. An explosive story in the Sunday Express on 29th October 1978 exposed one of apartheid South Africa's most sordid political lies. The scandal Muldergate, or Infogate, exposed the National Party as rotten to the core, saw State President John Forster's humiliating fall from grace, and dethroned the NP's crown prince, Connie Mulder, the Minister of Information, who was pegged to succeed Forster. The Sunday Express accused the Nats of using taxpayers' money to fund a secret project, codenamed Anne-Marie, that launched The Citizen, a pro-apartheid newspaper and part of a propaganda campaign to counter the anti-apartheid Rand Daily Mail. In a fine example of investigative reporting, the veil of secrecy was yanked aside to reveal a sleazy tale of government dirty tricks, deception, corruption, and cover-ups that went all the way to the top. Forster, who had resigned as Prime Minister 4 weeks earlier to become the ceremonial president, was forced to step down from his new post after a commission found he was involved in the debacle. Hendrik van den Berg, the feared head of the Bureau for State Security, apartheid South Africa's equivalent of the US Central Intelligence Agency, also went down. The man at the center of the scandal was Ishel Rudi, the maverick and flamboyant Secretary for Information and the apartheid regime's answer to Joseph Goebbels. He set the saga in motion in the early 1970s after a Department of Information survey found South Africa was more unpopular around the world than the People's Republic of China and the much-hated Soviet Union. Rudi decided South Africa had to buy, bribe, or bluff its way into the hearts and minds of the world, and he plotted an all-out psychological assault on domestic and foreign opinion to counter what he called the Hate South Africa campaign. Forster approved the clandestine project to put a positive spin on apartheid, and $100 million was channeled into a slush fund for this purpose. In an interview with the Rand Daily Mail after the scandal was exposed, Rudi said he needed the funds to be able to pay bribes. "If it was necessary for me to purchase a sable coat or a mink coat for an editor's wife, I should be able to do so. If it was necessary to send a man on holiday to the Hawaiian Islands with his mistress for a month, then I should be able to do so," he said. The extensive campaign included about 180 secret projects on three continents to undermine foreign critics of apartheid and manipulate public sentiment. Rudi also squandered millions of rand on private jaunts to the Seychelles for him and his family. After the Sunday Express revealed the Citizen's hidden agenda to counter the Rand Daily Mail, the Citizen responded that the muckraking little Sunday Express, one day we will write its epitaph, but it won't be rest in peace. Rudi's initial ploy was for the boorish fertilizer millionaire Louis Leight to buy the Rand Daily Mail and deliberalize it. But when that failed, he convinced Leight to launch the Citizen to boost the MP's image among English-speaking whites. The government put up the funds. Leight was the frontman. When reports revealed the Citizen was government-funded, Mulder stood up in Parliament and swore that no government money had gone into the newspaper. Watergate, anyone? This lie was Mulder's Richard Nixon moment. Retief van Rooyen, a lawyer who had been part of Anne-Marie, which was named after Rudi's daughter, spilt the beans. "It's all true," the Rand Daily Mail declared triumphantly on its front page. It was lying to Parliament that sunk Mulder. He was forced to resign from the Cabinet, from Parliament, and from the NP. "I have no remorse in my soul about the entire matter because everything I have done I did in the conviction that I was serving my country, South Africa, in the best way," Mulder said when he left political life with his tail between his legs. Rudi fled to Ecuador, then to Britain, before making his way to France, where he was detained and extradited to South Africa. He was found guilty on fraud charges and sentenced to 6 years in prison, but his conviction and sentence were overturned on appeal. The propaganda war didn't end after Muldergate. As Ron Nixon points out in Selling Apartheid, the campaign not only continued, it morphed into a much larger and subtler operation hidden behind front groups and corporations. The Muldergate scandal debunks the myth that corruption is only a post-apartheid phenomenon. It also reminds us of the important role investigative journalists play in bringing down lying politicians. Murdergate. One of the country's most enduring mysteries involves the unsolved murders of senior National Party politician Robert Smit and his wife Jean Cora. The couple were shot and stabbed in their home in Springs, east of Johannesburg, in November 1977. Bloody slogans were scrawled across their walls, apparently in an attempt to disguise the killings as the work of terrorists or a satanic cult. Despite the huge public interest in the murders and the many theories advanced over almost 50 years, the culprits have never been caught. One theory suggests the murders were connected to Infogate, which laundered money by circumventing foreign exchange regulations and depositing rands into secret Swiss bank accounts. The rumor was that Smit, a financier, had uncovered evidence of irregularities in these transactions and was murdered to keep him quiet. Several people confirmed at the time that Smit had information he described as explosive. The couple's daughter, Liza, went to the Truth and Reconciliation Commission hoping to get answers. Although the TRC confirmed that the murders were politically motivated and involved the security forces, it made no headway. Paper Tiger. The Muldergate scandal also exposed the Citizen for inflating its circulation figures. An investigative journalist's sting proved that 30,000 copies of the newspaper were either pulped or dumped on Louis Late's farm every day. More than 1 million copies of the Citizen went straight from the printer to the trash bin in the 18 months Late was associated with it. Thousands of copies were also distributed to civil servants and government officials as subscriptions to boost the title's circulation.